Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Zero bonus episode Avengers Endgame 5 years later edition starts right now. I'm BD, joined on this fine Friday by Aaron Perrine.
Title card 5 years later.
We caught up. My goodness gracious, we all survived the blip, or did we? Who knows anymore? We got Jenna Anderson.
Hey everybody,
welcome to the show. It is 5 years since Avengers Endgame hit theaters, which is crazy to me. I also, is today the day, or is it like, I don't know, I see it was April 26th that the movie hit theaters, right? Or was this like the preview night?
I feel like, I don't know. I'm going to check the calendar.
I don't know.
So keep talking.
But yeah, so either way, it's been 5 years and we're here to talk about it.
This was the Friday episode of the release weekend.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we are. No, Jamie couldn't join us today. She is busy having a life outside of work. How dare she? So good for Jamie. But we're here to talk about Avengers Endgame. So what we'll do on this show is just a fun look back at Avengers Endgame and then a look at the current state of the MCU real quick, just kind of where the MCU is now by comparison to sort of the equivalent point back, you know, in the Infinity Saga. I thought that would be a fun thing to do. But Jenna, I think we've had this conversation on Phase Zero years ago.
We have.
Remind me. Where were you Avengers Endgame for the first time?
So I was up in Chicago and like had just moved there relatively recently and went to the opening night showing, and it was one of the most electrifying cinematic experiences, which I know is kind of a broken record. That's what everybody says about this movie, but just being in a full crowd of people and experiencing certain things was unparalleled.
The most electrifying. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Aaron, what about you?
It was our first week here. We were going like house shopping, or at least we were trying to like figure out where we were going to stay. It literally was the first, like the only day we could fit into our schedules to get there. So we booked a showing in a theater I was never been to, just because I'm like, we're not playing these games. I worked in social media at the time. I knew the spoilers. Shout out to LaShawn McCoy, hold your head. Like I knew it was going to happen. So we got in there and it was absolutely electrifying with absolute strangers, 100% strangers, none of my friends, nobody else around. But like, I mean, the level of hype, probably the only other crowd I've been into was that electric was like 2016 game 7 back in Cleveland on top of like a hotel, and everybody's just stress drinking and whatever. It was really, really magical.
Yeah, that was an unreal time. I remember I went opening weekend three times opening weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, just because I wanted to feel that like theater energy, because it was that hype. And I feel like by Sunday, everybody was just like, it was, you already saw it. Probably you were just trying to, it was everybody kind of acting excited again, even like genuinely so. But we wanted to feel that, because by week two, it wasn't going to be the same. And there was never just going to, I can't imagine a movie theater experience being as electric as Avengers Endgame was. You know, I remember I was lucky enough to go to the premiere of this movie, and it was just one of the best days ever. I think I told this story, but I had the most first world incredible dilemma problem I'll ever have in my life, where Warner Brothers called me like 2 weeks before this. They're like, hey, we're doing an event for, it was a Godzilla movie and Detective Pikachu at the same time. And I was like, when is it? And, we're going to bring you to Tokyo. And I was like, okay, but when is it? And they said it was the same day as Avengers Endgame premiere. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Tokyo will still be there. Hopefully one day I get to go. Still haven't. 5 years later, still haven't been. But I was like, the Avengers Endgame premiere is only going to happen once. There was nothing that could have taken me away from the Avengers Endgame premiere. That night was insane. Saw everyone. They lined up. They turned the convention center into a freaking movie theater. It seated, like, I don't know, 90 million people. I remember hearing about Anthony Mackie talking about, we're going to go start filming Falcon and Winter Soldier in Atlanta. Yeah, soon. He was talking to, like, Destin Daniel Cretton. And I heard from Destin Daniel Cretton that Shang-Chi was going to film in Australia. And everything was still so, it was just so new and exciting and uncharted. Oh, my God, it was the best. But, yeah, that night was insane. That weekend was insane. Chat, where were you? Avengers Endgame opening weekend. Name your, well, maybe it might be kind of weird, like, if you name your theater. I don't know. That might, it might be a little weird. But, like, I'll tell you right now, I went to the Regal Opry Mills. I went to twice. I saw it in IMAX there. And I'm pretty sure I went over to the Hollywood 27. Yeah, no. Woo-wee! Here in Nashville. But, yeah, so that's our, that's, we've told those stories before. I think I told the Tokyo story before here once, but
you did.
I don't know. Yeah, and I like to blab. So, you know, if you're a new listener to Phase Zero, welcome. You're hearing our stories for the first time. If you've been with us for years, thank you, and I'm sorry. All right, so real quick, let's take a real quick break. We come back. Let's talk about the state of the MCU compared to the equivalent point of the Infinity Saga. So we'll see. Is the hype the same? Let's see in a moment. Subscribe. Welcome back to Phase Zero, and a welcome back to the live show. Julia and Marcus, who are here in the live chat for the first time in a while, I believe they said. Patrick King was at Disney World when he watched Avengers Endgame. What a place to be. I bet that was pretty cool. I bet everything was all Avengers up. That's pretty cool. But all right, the reason I tee up this next conversation, which I think I just want to look at, the MCU, it's been 5 years since Endgame. So 5 years into the Infinity Saga, we were at 2013. Iron Man 3, we were after the Avengers. Here we are, 5 years post-Endgame. How does it line up? Now listen, I recognize a proper comparison will be 2026, right? Because that would be 5 years since the Multiverse Saga started. Because Far From Home is technically that Infinity Saga epilogue, doesn't count as the Multiverse Saga. It's been 5 years, so I thought this would be a fun conversation to have. Jenna, what do you think? Does the MCU have that same sort of momentum, excitement, story, and whatever it is? Is it? How do you compare 2024 MCU to 2013 MCU?
I think it is impossible to hold them both on the same level. I think also because we will never get back to the monoculture of the Infinity Saga. I don't think ever. Like, there will always be a Marvel fandom. There will always be hype for these movies. There will always be stories to tell. But I think on the level that it was, especially 5 years into the Infinity Saga, and especially like by the time we got to Endgame, we're just not telling that type of story anymore. And I think it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because in order to tell the story that we're telling now and like span into Disney Plus and tell different types of stories, that isn't getting the same kind of audience that it used to. And that is just kind of a thing that the franchise has to reckon with. But I also think there are a lot of positives that are on the horizon.
Aaron, what do you think?
So I don't really do like these comparisons as it's covered on this show multiple times. What the heck is the same as 2019? If you can find me something, go ahead, drop me that on socials.
I'm just saying
in general to people who usually make this argument, like, what would you even put forward where like a Honda Civic is like $27,000 now? You know what I mean? But I guess it's, the hype's not the same, but like everything got fractured. Like Jenna said, the Google Facebook duopoly came along, swallowed everything. Everything is farmed for increasingly insane engagement, and all things are trying to be all things to all people. I remember when, like, you know, Burger King didn't serve tacos, and now here we are. Like, it that's how I feel. It's a really hilarious kind of standard for anything to live up to, but especially these movies. I don't know. It just doesn't read the same to me, I guess. There are both positives and negatives. I think that the last three projects released are a clear upswing. Absolutely. Like, there's no arguing with that. You know, X-Men 97, What If, and then Deadpool and Wolverine will be enough now that you probably shouldn't be talking about anything that happened last year once Deadpool and Wolverine gets here. So, I don't know.
I will also argue, I feel like 5 years into the Infinity Saga was really kind of just the start of it being a cinematic universe. Like, we forget when Iron Man started, that wasn't initially the intent to, like, make it this whole massive thing. And I also think part of the reason why that point in time feels so different from where we're at now is because in the interim, so many other things have tried to be a cinematic universe and have tried to do what Marvel did with varying success. And so the cultural appetite for it has completely changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think 5 years into the Infinity Saga, it was like we had just gotten the Avengers. Everybody came together. Thanos showed up in the credit scene, and they were on track to start going cosmic with it. They really hadn't yet, with the exception being Thor. And we were Iron Man 3 was on the way. And I tweeted today that I don't think the momentum is the same. And I don't. I think, like you said, Jenna, it's the monoculture is not what it was. There's just, I also think there's so much content. There's streaming services. There's all this stuff. It's not just Marvel content. It's, there's everything. You're getting 8 episodes of Fallout in a day. You know, it's like there's so much out there that it's hard for any one thing to be that zeitgeist thing. Right now, there is no what the MCU was, what The Walking Dead was, what Game of Thrones was, what Lost was. There just isn't that right now. There's no one thing that everyone's watching. Elections are pretty much the only thing everybody's watching.
Taylor Swift
and Travis Kelce, people are watching more than anything else.
Again, purely on a movie level, Barbenheimer was like the last thing that is even remotely monocultural in the way that like Endgame was.
You're 100% right.
I mean, what's it called? Lots of people seeing Dune this year.
But it's not like
people seeing Dune.
A lot of people see Dune, but I don't think that Dune has reached the zeitgeist that the Marvel Cinematic Universe reached. Like, a lot of more people are, and granted, they lend themselves to this, but a lot more people had Iron Man, Captain America action figures than are ever going to have Dune action figures. You know what I mean?
I will make the argument. I do feel like, and this is a whole separate conversation, I do feel like Dune is starting to be embraced, especially I see so many TikToks of like kids in high school quoting the speeches from Dune in the cafeteria at lunch. And it's like, I feel like they're almost taking ownership of it the way that like the kids who grew up with the Infinity Saga took ownership of that. Because I think that's a whole conversation. We've had this on the show of like, if you are a kid or a teenager right now, the Infinity Saga almost predates you and the MCU almost predates you. And so that causes you to have a completely different relationship to it than older audience members do.
Yeah, I do think Dune is close to that thing. It's, and as people who are growing up now that are watching Dune, it's going to continue to grow in popularity. At the same time when I said that, I thought about, man, I was so excited for Iron Man 3. I am maybe more excited for Deadpool and Wolverine than I was for Iron Man 3. And I don't know, that might just be recency. That might be like the fact that I've seen, but I was hype as hell for Iron Man 3. And with Deadpool and Wolverine, y'all know I'm not playing when I say like, I would go get a Deadpool tattoo right now if it meant I could watch the movie instead of waiting 3 more months. Like, I can't wait for that movie. So all that said, like, I do feel like the MCU is, for lack of a better word, a little bit messier than it was back then. But that said, we have 50 times the content per year. So it's interesting. I think that has diluted the fan base and taken away from the monoculture of it, but it has certainly, you know, fed the machine quite a bit more. To the quality, I would, at this point in 2013, and granted, again, we'll have to have this conversation in 2026 because that'll be a proper 5 years in. But at that point, the whole multiverse saga is over, which is weird. I always thought that was kind of weird anyway, unless Secret Wars is a two-part thing. But even if it is, it's only going to be a couple years apart. I don't know, that whole conversation for another podcast. But at that point, we had Iron Man, Captain America, the First Avenger, Thor, Iron Man 2, not in this order, The Incredible Hulk, The Avengers, and Iron Man 3. And we have so much more than that in the multiverse saga. We've had, of those movies, the ones that are looked back on really fondly, I'd say, like the ones that aren't just, I mean, Incredible Hulk has started getting a little love suddenly on social media, but Iron Man 2 is constantly poo-pooed on. Thor is like, people are like, ah, it's a movie. People love Iron Man. Captain America, the First Avenger gets mixed. I think some people love it, some people don't, but there isn't like a strong consensus on that movie. The Avengers is pretty beloved. And Iron Man 3 is also one of those that's kind of mixed. If you're a comic fan, you're a little pissed off. If you watch Shang-Chi, you like it a little bit more now, maybe. But even then, like, it was, I think it's just a good, I think it's a movie that's mostly well-received, but also not in the top 10 of the MCU, I think, for most people. Now, at this point, in the Multiverse Saga, No Way Home's a banger. Shang-Chi's great. Loki, season 1 and 2, phenomenal. WandaVision, excellent. X-Men 97, home run week after week. There's a lot of hits. Now, granted, for me, there's misses, and I know some of my misses. Like, Eternals, for me, was pretty much a miss. And I know the hot take. Sorry, don't talk trash about Eternals. But we have people who love Eternals, so it's interesting.
Julia's right. You missed Guardians.
Yeah, you missed Guardians
completely.
Oh, Guardians 3. Yeah. Banger. Banger after banger after banger after burger after burger. And, yeah. I don't know. All that to say, it's hard to even compare the quality because there's so much more now. I like it. I like Disney Plus shows. The movies felt more like events, so it's like a pros and cons situation. In terms of quality, these first, I guess, 3 years of the Multiverse Saga compared to those movies from this point in the Infinity Saga, do you think it's almost on par, Jenna?
I think when there's so much more content, there's so many more installments to kind of take into account. I feel like the average is roughly the same. I don't know. And I also feel like even for better or for worse, the fact that like we can have stronger reactions, good or bad, about so many of the installments is a testament to something in and of itself. Whereas I feel like to your point about phase one, a lot of the movies in there kind of just still get met with a mixed response. Like people liked them, but they didn't feel strongly one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. It just felt like it was an event. It was more like, I feel like Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man really captivated so much of it. And I feel like that's the one thing we just kind of don't have right now. Like the MCU has a lot of great characters, but Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, and I know I'm an Iron Man fan, so maybe I'm hyping this up a little bit, but like his Iron Man was just so, everybody like knew Iron Man, loved Iron Man. It was, you know, at least not everybody, but you get my point. And then Captain America, the Hulk, all these very popular characters were right there at the forefront. And right now, there's so many characters all over the place, and there is no clear centerpiece, which I think, and there's no ensemble. Like they haven't had an Avengers movie, which I've said time and time again was a mistake. I think Secret Invasion should have been a movie, and Phase 4 should have been the Skrull phase. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting time. And I think with Deadpool and Wolverine on the horizon, and like Aaron said, a lot of good movies recently, or good titles recently, they might be on the upswing in a big way. Will they ever be the monoculture again? I don't know. But Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be the biggest movie of the year, I think.
That seems to be, because the funny thing is Dune is doing really, really well.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, like, they're already putting it back in IMAX to try and get it up there towards the bill so that they can put that big round number on a graphic somewhere or in a freaking PowerPoint deck. Let's be serious. Mm-hmm. I don't know once Deadpool hits theaters, as long as the first trailers don't have Taylor Swift in them or whatever other weird cameos that are hiding in this thing that we might or might not be tap dancing around, there will be more people to come out to the theater. As long as you don't multiverse of madness this, which we made into a verb, which is very funny, I feel like there's some real like foot traffic potential that a lot of these besides Spider-Man No Way Home really have not had, you know? So we'll see. I joke around about like the sort of reception. This year isn't really, there's not that many big fish in the tank. Like if you really think about it, it's Deadpool, Wolverine, Dune. What's the other? There's another two big ones, Jenna.
Furiosa.
Furiosa, right?
That's Furiosa is not coming close to Dune or Deadpool.
I don't think it is, but it still is gonna do something.
Yeah, like, it's gonna do well. It's gonna do well.
I'm trying to think about Moana. Is laying in the weeds.
I'll throw Joker in there because it first one made a billion. So
God,
oh, Mufasa.
Boy. What? First of all, now see that'll be interesting. That'll be the wildest thing. This will be another Fallout 2 movie that made $1 billion during that year where Disney made everything and it just made $1 billion. And I'll be curious to see. Will the Lion King being written on something be enough to get it up over those numbers?
You know what I kind of hope becomes a cultural banger and we're all talking about it and it changes our lives? Gladiator 2.
Oh, that's going to be good. But I don't know will the adults that showed up for Oppenheimer come to their theaters and drink wine and watch that too?
I know Layla's buying tickets to every showing in the UK.
You can get Stan Twitter to show up if you market that movie correctly. So I'm still so jealous that you got to see footage of that.
This is a Paramount shop. We are rooting for Gladiator 2 on this side, baby.
That's right. Oh, man. So, yeah. So I think Deadpool Wolverine is going to end up being the biggest movie of the year, biggest R-rated movie of all time. Unless it sucks, but I don't think it will. I really don't think it will. Like, at minimum, that movie's going to be fun. You know, worst case scenario, you're going to laugh a lot. And I don't think it's going to be a worst case scenario movie. So we'll see.
Feige and them seem really confident. They seem really effusively confident. When they made the choice to only have one movie, they probably had to know, like, yo, you have to hit a home run. If there's only one of these things here, it has to earn $1 billion. It has to do all this crazy stuff. Which, by the way, just arbitrary numbers, by the way. Like,
it's Marvel Jesus.
It's Marvel Jesus.
I will also make the argument, looking even further ahead, I almost feel like Fantastic Four is shaping up to be what Guardians was for the Infinity Saga at that time, of like, do you need something that is weird and stylistically different from the rest of the franchise and can probably be accessible without having seen all of the other recent movies? I do feel like Fantastic Four, based on what we already know, could end up being that movie.
I think Fantastic Four is it was one of those that it's a crucial property for Marvel going forward, and the choice that they're clearly taking, and I know I'm like, you know, put them in the MCU, let them all be connected. I will say the idea of doing it as a very visually different, very accessible because it's separate, mostly separate type story is probably smart, because the MCU, as we've seen, I think, by the Marvels, because they started throwing every piece of connective tissue into the marketing, including so much Endgame footage and a Marvel cameo and all this stuff. And I mean, similarly with Quantumania, even though they didn't make such a similar push, but clearly they were marketing it as like, this is the movie that tells you what's happening next. And those are the two movies that really struggled last year. I think the MCU as a brand doesn't have that slap Marvel Studios logo on there and you're guaranteed $600,000 easy anymore. So it's Fantastic Four is one that I think it's going to have to stand on its own. And I think it very much will. And it's going to be one that they're going to have to use to carry it all forward and beyond it.
I think it's interesting that you point out the marketing, though, because the Marvels definitely happened during that strike. Like, definitely, 100%. You don't have the Jimmy Fallon games. You don't have the carpool karaoke with the three of them singing, Intergalactic together, and Brie Larson in a beanie for all of us to, like, giggle at. That stuff really, I feel like, matters more than I ever could have imagined it did. I mean, the Dune stuff, clearly, and this is the funny thing that's been underreported, freaking Wonka blowing the doors off of the movies at the end of last year. Windmill Dune, 100%. Timothy Chalamet's face being everywhere absolutely helped that movie, and it had nothing to do with it. It's just everybody saw him, he was on SNL, all that stuff happened. So I think that's a crucial secret sauce. Get ready. You think we're seeing a lot of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman now? Wait till the summer really hits. They'll do the entire circuit like it's 1997. You ever see those Twitter accounts where they show like Destiny's Child performing or like Today's Show and how that would never, ever, ever happen now? They're going to do all that crap. He's going to be kissing babies and signing, like, you know, signing stuff.
I'm definitely going to agree with you, but I just looked at the button. $206 million for the Marvels. That's all it made.
They took it out of theaters because Iger was like, hey, yo, you know what? Honestly, I'm probably just going to punish Homegirl for this nonsense even happening. And I know, wow, reckless speculation, but like the quotes are the quotes.
Is it reckless? But I 100% agree. A press tour and the actors being able to talk about it would have definitely helped. But even if it doubled the box office, $412 million that's still tough for a Marvel sequel.
It is tough for a Marvel sequel, but like, there was the thing. We'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, and Quantumania was right in that ballpark of double that, and we still look at that like it didn't do well.
I feel like we're like 2019. We have to remember that was the $1 billion year. Like every movie made $1 billion, and we have very rarely done that ever since. So I think like we've had to recalibrate our expectations, and some people still haven't, of understanding like what a superhero movie needs to make to be profitable.
Would the Marvels' script have leaked 3 weeks before the freaking movie was in theaters? I think that had something to do with it too. Shut down a whole subreddit because of nonsense. We can't have anything good. I think that's the biggest problem with this 5 years on, is that we've all worked ourselves into shoots constantly for 5 years. Constantly. The people are consuming more of, and it's been great for our traffic over here at comicbook.com. Please keep reading. Please clicking. Please subscribe it. But it has ruined people's expectations for these movies beyond what they actually are. They expect every single one of these things to be in game instead of them just being a thing. Like, that was the expectation coming out of Endgame. I don't know how you thought that was going to happen. It's so expensive for everybody who out there who's like a, you know, pocket protector brigade. Like every one of the movies, that movie was crazy expensive. It had to do those kind of numbers. It's silly.
I think the only movie that's tried to even capture that would be Spider-Man, because it did the whole three Spider-Man thing. Now we're all, I feel like now everybody's at a point of just give us just Spider-Man. We're cool.
Yeah.
We're cool. Just put just Spider-Man there. So coming up, so at this point in the Infinity Saga, it was next in line were like Avengers Age of Ultron, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy was right around the corner, Thor the Dark World was right around the corner, Captain America Civil War was not too far off, and so on our horizon right now, we have, you know, Thunderbolts, Cap 4, Blade, hopefully, Secret Wars, Kang Dynasty, a lot. There's plenty of exciting stuff on the horizon. Agatha, Ironheart on Disney Plus, Daredevil Born Again. So there's a lot of those titles. I mean, I think they're all pretty exciting. So I think the state of the MCU is not too bad.
I can't shake that too. And it's funny because we're leaning into 2 years where literally they're giving you what you want. The only thing I think that people on mass internet have not been yelling about is Brave New World. That's the only thing. And they have been yelling about it, but it's not for those reasons. So, like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? We're going to see. You've heard me say it for 2 years. I don't really believe y'all when y'all say things in the comments about what exactly you want, because you don't. It's Jenna and Chris's favorite thing from The Simpsons.
I will say the one thing the Infinity Saga didn't have was Secret Invasion, and it's better for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't know what happened there. Pandemic and other weird meddling, probably.
Someone My hope is Joanna. Just we got it out of our system, and hopefully, like, we're just on the up and up from there. I do feel like, to Beatty's point of, like, the titles that were on the horizon in 2013 versus the titles now, I almost feel like, and I'm not trying to overhype this year's San Diego or whatever announcements they might have in the next couple of months, but I feel like it could be the equivalent of the presentation that they did for phases 2 and 3, kind of explaining that they were getting to Infinity War, because I feel like we need to recalibrate and we need to kind of have an idea of what we are doing from this point onward. And I feel like that could be a way to get people hyped.
It's funny too, because in the titles you listed back when, like, okay, this is what was happening at this similar point, Thor the Dark World was the consensus worst Marvel movie on every single ranking pre-Letterboxd era internet. 100%, to the point where it was like funny that it was such a big part of Endgame. Age of Ultron, hilariously divisive in its day, to the point where JB Jarak barely would say on social media that it's one of her faves. Like, all those things in the lineup were not like these universally beloved things. It reminds me of the reception to Amazing Spider-Man 2, where I'm like, I was on the ground. I did not see y'all. I was at the battle. I have an eye patch from a scratch from a cat. Y'all were not there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this year San Diego is maybe not the biggest Marvel San Diego of all time, but I would say the most important.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be very telling, and I'm very excited for that. So that's our little bonus episode for the day. That's our 5 years after Endgame. We're all still here. We survived the blip. 5 years later, here we are doing Phase Zero. Imagine if we had this show back when Endgame was like all these. Oh my gosh, Phase Zero back in those days would have been insane. But here we are, you know, just riding this. I liked the comment from Julia. The Infinity Saga was a train track and now it's a web. I agree with that. It does feel like it's not necessarily all in one direction. There's a lot of ways we can go just to get to where we want to be. And we're kind of trial and erroring it, it seems like. But yeah, Jenna, any last words for today's bonus episode about Avengers Endgame turning 5?
I was actively stopping myself from making a her web connects them all joke during that whole speech you just made.
Her web didn't connect.
It's at Hey, It's Jenna Lynn on social media. And as always, go read some comics.
Aaron Perrine.
Hey, what's going on? It's at some like Hornets. I would like to point out, say hi from Jamie, who is busy with duties in a far off land. Your princess is in another castle. Also, comicbook.com has updates for a bunch of random stuff for you this week, including Deadpool and Wolverine not having homework somehow, except for the fact that if you've been watching Phase Zero, we've been doing tons of homework for it. So I need some extra credit, Sean Levy. Yeah. I would like some extra credit. Come on the show.
Just listen to Phase Zero, Sean.
Then come on the show.
All right, y'all. That's our show. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Happy birthday, Avengers Endgame. Thanks for the memories. Hit us up on social media if you want to talk more. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube, youtube.com/c/phase zero. Subscribe to our podcast on every major podcast platform. Play our show for your mom. Play it for your dog. Go watch Avengers Endgame and have yourself a wonderful weekend. See you soon, everybody. Bye.